In the summer of 2009, which was 7 years ago, can you believe that? Rochelle and I and the boys, this was before Ben was married, otherwise we would have taken Cherie with us, but we went as a family to the USA for the holiday of a lifetime. It really was a holiday of a lifetime. We had a ball and it was a precious time as a family. But by the summer of 2009, Ben and Jared had become very large boys. Really, that photograph actually is quite flattering. They were really large. Some of you remember that. And they achieved this remarkable condition by overeating too much junk food and by a lack of exercise. Ben in particular, we just couldn't get him off the couch. I'm just telling the truth. He would tell you that himself. But it's really helpful that he's not here this morning while I talk about it behind his back. Amen. Their weight was a real issue to us. But young men don't like to listen to their dad because dad doesn't understand anything about life. Amen? Amen? So, but something happened on that trip to America that changed their lives. I don't know what it was. Rochelle and I can't really quite put our finger on it. Maybe it was the way most restaurants in America like to try to supersize every meal that you eat. Maybe it was all the soft drink that they consumed or the mega pizzas that they gorged themselves on. But something happened to my boys. And when we arrived back home in Australia, they had both decided, they both made this big announcement to us, to do something about their physical condition. And I had nothing to do with that announcement or decision. It was all theirs, their own motivation. And then within 6 months, both boys had lost a remarkable 33 kilos each. It's just remarkable that they lost actually exactly the same amount of weight. Ben did it through lots of exercise, and as you know, he's hyper fit now, so he does lots of exercise and also eating smaller portions. Jared did it through using the Weight Watchers program, and both worked. And so today, both the boys are fit, they're lean, healthy young men, and obviously I'm glad that they lost the weight because they really needed to do that, and that's what they did. Now, the problem is, Ben is always lecturing me now about my diet. He really does. It's a real nuisance sometimes. But anyway, but for those of you who don't know, Ben and his wife, Cherie, they're on the missions trip right now. Cherie's also very fit. We have a running treadmill at home, and it's nothing for Cherie just to jump on it in the morning, and she'll do a 5K run in the morning, and she's incredible. But they live with us because they're doing the uni studies, so they live with us so they can sponge off us. Let's call it what it is. But anyway, so they live with us. So consequently, I have to eat superfoods and brown rice. I can't stand brown rice. But anyway, and I have to eat other healthy food that I don't really particularly like, but I know that it's good for me. Ben is always on to me about staying in shape and trying harder when I exercise. And he recently, over Christmas, just laughed at me because he challenged me to a game of squash. And I play a lot of squash, but he just laughed at me because I was physically unable to keep up with him on the squash court. And he just stood there and mocked me. And I fell in a heap on the floor in a fetal position, sucking my thumb. And I can't keep up with him, and that's just how it is. So the good thing about Ben and Cherie going to India on the missions trip is I can eat what I want to eat while they're away. Amen. No superfoods. And I can take it easy at the gym. And I can walk around my house in my undies too. So that's a good thing. That's not an image you want to have, I understand. But it's true. Staying fit is big business today. There are 24-hour gyms everywhere. People are buying the Fitbits to monitor their fitness. Anybody here got a Fitbit? Okay, quite a few people have. I've been thinking of getting one too. My sister's got one and she's talking about it all the time. So people are buying those things and that's great. And our culture is consumed with staying in shape. Plus we have so much dietary information, don't we, available to us today so that we know what we should eat. And a lot of people are now on diets, trying to recover from Christmas, and maybe you are trying to recover from Christmas. Anybody trying to recover from Christmas on a diet? Okay. Anybody sit next to somebody and you think they really need to recover from Christmas? Hey, if you're on a diet to get in shape, honestly, I say this to you, more power to you. Well done. And stay with it. And because all of that is good and it's positive. And the Bible even says physical training is good in 1 Timothy 4 verse 8. Absolutely it is. However, you know, there's much more to you, everybody. I'm stating the obvious, but sometimes we need to be reminded of the obvious. There's more to you than just your physical body. And there's actually more to you than your spirit. You know, as Christians, we talk a lot about our spirit, and rightly so. We obviously understand the significance of physical health. We need to honor God with our bodies. And as Christian people, we understand the all-important need to keep our heart or our spirit right with God. Amen? However, in addition to our body and to our spirit, God has also given us a brain to use. That might come as a surprise. you actually do have a brain. And God wants us to use our brains. God's given us a mind to use. And the mind is a wonderful thing. And God has given us the capacity to reason and to think, to meditate, and even to imagine. And just as it's good to stay physically fit, and it is, and just as it's most important that our spirits are alive to God, that we have healthy spirits, and we have a healthy spirit by becoming born again. Those things are important. But so also, it's of the utmost importance that we strive to develop a healthy mind and a healthy thought life. Most of your struggles that you've had in the past and the struggles you'll have in the future and your battles in life will take place in the arena of your own thinking. You think your battles are out there. No, most of your battles are take place between your ears. Your own thinking affects nearly every aspect of your life. Therefore, it makes sense to pay attention to what you actually think about. You can have a healthy body. And you can enjoy the daily release of endorphins into your bloodstream after your gym workout and you feel good for a few moments. But if you have a toxic thought life, then you're not really a healthy whole person at all. I've defined a toxic thought life. A toxic thought life is a thought life that is dominated by thoughts that contradict what God says about you. You know. Amen? I'll read that statement again because I know there's a lot of worldly stuff out there that define it differently. A toxic thought life is a thought life that is dominated by thoughts that contradict what God says about you. And God says so many good things about you, and we find that in the Word of God, the Bible. And His words are life, and they set a person free. So I'll give you an example. A follower of Jesus Christ may struggle with a phobia or a fear. A lot of people have phobias and fears. Maybe you do. And a follower of Jesus Christ can still have a phobia or fear that they've had for a long time. And this fear raises its ugly head in certain situations. And it then saps the person of all their confidence and peace. For them, it's like they're in a trap that they can't escape from. However, God's word contradicts fear in you and in me. God's word declares, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of... That's what the word of God says. And the psalmist even said, you know, when you feel like you're in a trap, the psalmist even declared with great joy, my soul has escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. And fear can be a snare. God's word is holy. Is a holy, powerful contradiction and antidote for toxic thinking. Now, our thought life is developed from all our varied experiences, both the good and the bad, and from things that we've chosen to feed into our mind over the years. And as we grow, we soon develop patterns of thinking that affects our behavior and decision-making. And even when you become a born-again Christian and your spirit gets right with God, and being born again does splash over other areas of your humanity, but even though you're born again, you still retain your thoughts, whether they're toxic or otherwise. You could be a born-again Christian and still have stinking thinking because it's been with you for years. Your spirit's right with God, but you still got those toxic thoughts. In addition, we all have crazy thoughts from time to time. Who gets crazy thoughts from time to time? I do. Everybody does. If you don't have crazy thoughts from time to time, you're probably not alive right now. Everybody has crazy thoughts. And sometimes we get weird thoughts that seem to come from nowhere. And such thoughts come from the evil one who lies to us constantly. And just, you know, just a bit of advice. Whenever you get a crazy thought in your head, don't own it. It's not originated within you. It's come from the outside, the devil into your brain. Just dismiss it in Jesus' name and move on. Doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Okay, everybody? But some thoughts do become embedded in our thinking if we allow them to become part of our thinking. And these thoughts can be very unhealthy. And even though we're Christians and we're meant to be victorious, we end up struggling with issues because of our unhealthy thinking. And then you've got that tension. Why am I not victorious? And what's going on? And it's not because God doesn't love you or me. God loves us. We know. How do we know God loves us? We know because He said He loves us. God loves us, and we celebrate that today. That's what communion is all about. And so having this unhealthy thinking is not because God doesn't love us or because we're not right with God. It's just because we've not addressed our own thought life. You know, there's a saying, some of you probably heard this before. I'm saved, being saved, and I'm going to be saved. Saved means I'm right with God. Being saved means I need to do something about the way I think. And one day I'm going to be saved. That's when Jesus comes back again and we get a new body with Jesus forever and ever. A stinking thought life makes a person vulnerable to the deceit of the devil. And it also produces self-destructive behavior and poor decision-making. So, however, just as we're accountable for our own physical health, and my own physical health, I'm accountable for it. Rochelle's not, nobody else is. If something's not working, it's my responsibility to go and see the doctor myself. It's my responsibility to make sure I actually eat healthy food. And just as I'm responsible for my own physical health, so we're also accountable for the health of our thought life. If you don't do something about your thought life, nobody else is going to do it for you. Now, the Bible has much to say about the mind and our thoughts. Romans 12, verse 2, and most of you should be familiar with this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And it's implied there that you change the way you think. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Wow! What a great piece of advice. What are you thinking about? What goes on inside your head? And I'm talking about this subject briefly today because your mind is under siege from every corner. You get thoughts of discouragement. I know that you do. Doubt and temptation. But thank God we don't have to give in to such kind of thinking as that. And thank God that the Bible is saying that it's important and it's possible to develop a healthy mind and a healthy thought life. Come on, can somebody shout out amen. I just now want to change direction with this message and I'll kind of weave back. In case you don't know, we're a Pentecostal church. And I'm a Pentecostal minister and I've got a little card that says I am. I'm glad about that. And I think, you know, we all understand that God does not recognize denominations or titles over churches. Come on. God just sees one church throughout the world and down through the ages. Nonetheless, you know, I think it's us. We like labels. And Real Life Church, our church, Real Life Church, is a part of the Pentecostal arm of the church. What does that mean? It means that we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. It means that we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in people's lives today. I've got so much I'd like to talk to you about that, but that's for another time. We believe God does miracles. Absolutely. And today God is working mightily around the world. Do you know many Muslims are coming to Jesus Christ? Here's a bit of info. I don't want to go on tangents. I like to stay on track. But one of the Christian communities that is growing the most rapidly in the world today is in Iran. The church in Iran experienced a growth over the last, if I'm trying to remember the figure, over the last 12 months, just under 20%. Just grew. You know why? Because Muslims have had enough. Muslims are starting to turn to Jesus Christ all around the world and in Iran. So I just let you know that. Today, God is working mightily around the world. And God's working here at Real Life Church. Amen. Absolutely. We just had a baptism. God's working powerfully. And all of that, they've just said, all of that theology of the Holy Spirit is good, right? And it's thoroughly biblical. But sometimes there are parts of the Pentecostal charismatic church, and I've been around a long time and seen this, that have overemphasized feelings and the importance of emotions in church while minimizing the role and the importance of thinking and reasoning. And this overemphasis came about in reaction to there being so many dead and lifeless churches. And we don't want to be dead or lifeless. We don't want to be like that. So I understand the reaction of charismatic Pentecostal churches. And I too actually do believe that feelings and emotions are an important part of our worship. Absolutely, I do. Nonetheless, the overemphasis on feelings and good emotions while minimizing the importance of reason and thinking can be spiritually dangerous for people when it's out of balance. For example, someone could come to church and not feel any sense of euphoria at all. And maybe that's how it has been for you today. And maybe that's how it is always for you. You don't particularly feel God when you come to church. Then, when everybody else near you seems to be feeling God, and when everyone else seems to be feeling really good, and you're not feeling God, then you can wonder, what is wrong with me? I know that happens because I've had these conversations. And it's easy to mistakenly gauge God's love for you by how you feel. That's really what I'm trying to say. And so then you can react in one of two ways. Instead of really worshiping God, you then focus more on trying to get the feel of God, God's presence, or get the feel of His blessing, because that's how you subconsciously gauge whether you're connected to God or not, by how you feel. Or you can react the other way, and some people do this, and you shrink into your shell, and you conclude that God is not for you because you don't feel God like other people seem to do. It's not your thing. Both responses are wrong. It may come as a surprise to you, but there are times when I've gone up to preach, and honestly, folks, God has felt like He's a million miles away. I got to preach. You wouldn't know, but I got to be honest, sometimes it feels like God's a million miles away. But then there have been times when I felt like God is so close. There have been times when I've felt like I'm in revival. And there have been times when I felt I was living in a desert. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You all know our feelings and emotions are so incredibly fickle, and they are an unreliable gauge to God's presence and love. Feelings are great when they're positive, but they're really lousy when they're negative. You know, I thank God for good emotions. But a long time ago, I learned that faith is not built upon feelings or emotions. If my faith was built on my emotions, I would be up and down like a yo-yo. Particularly if I'm watching the Eagles play a game of sport, footy or something. Your emotions go up and down. I learned, and that means I engage my thinking and my reasoning, that my faith is built upon what God has said in His Word and not on how I'm feeling at that moment in time. So I don't get hung up over how I feel in church today. Big deal how you feel. I don't let it bother me because, or rather, by faith in what God says about me, I decide how I'm going to feel when I'm in church. It's because of what His Word says about me. Sometimes in church, I've moved from sadness to gladness by praising God anyway. Yes. And when I get up to preach, and I'm not just an average preacher, I get all of that, but when I get up to preach, I know that God is with me, irrespective of how I may be feeling. I anticipate that the Holy Spirit will work in people's lives today. I've been praying about this message. Because I know that the Bible says, my word will not return to me void. I know that God is working in the hearts of people today. He's working in your heart today. And I anticipate that, and I expect that to happen here at Real Life Church, irrespective of how I actually feel emotionally. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus, then God is with you today. irrespective of what you are feeling or not feeling in this service. It's not what you feel, it's what you know that makes the difference. How do we know that God is with us even when we cannot feel him? We know this because the Bible tells us that God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. You have his word. Nothing else is required. So we celebrate God anyway, and then our feelings catch up eventually. See, it does not matter if God seems a million miles away or if God seems close. Worship is all about honoring him. When you get to heaven, and I'll catch up with you and we'll have a coffee together, amen. When you get to heaven, you just maybe you will discover that your most God-honoring times of worship occurred when you actually felt nothing. But you worshiped anyway because God is just worthy and because God is good. And you want to express your gratitude to him. And God was blessed because you worshiped him even when you felt nothing coming back. And it was like you were loving God for who he is rather than for what he actually can do for you. And that's true worship. And it's a rare person who actually does that. So everybody still with me? Just move along really quick. So let's absolutely emphasize the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's enjoy the vibe. You know, let's emphasize miracles and the mercy of God. Let's emphasize the blessings and favor of God and the joy of the Lord. Let's stir up these things because they are good. But let us also emphasize the importance of nurturing a healthy thought life and the need for healthy thinking and reasoning that is based in God's word so that we stay the course and remain unmoved by our fickle emotions. People of faith engage their brain as well as their heart. That's all I'm trying to say. Amen? Therefore, nearly kind of finished sort of in a fashion. Therefore, just as so very important to feed your body a diet that will help maintain good physical health, it's even more important to feed your mind a diet of good thoughts that will maintain a healthy thought life. And just as your body reflects and responds to your food diet, so your brain always, always, always reflects and responds to the mind diet that you choose to feed it. The truth is, we are all constantly feeding our minds some sort of brain food. Our minds are taking in whatever we actually are focusing on. And if you only ever feed on mental junk food, then your thought life will hinder you instead of propelling you forward to victory. Maybe you've been wondering why things haven't been working out for you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you blame God. Maybe you blamed other people. When actually, it is your own toxic thought life that has ensnared you. We read before in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And I'll read it again. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 urges us to prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Prepare your minds for action. And as we enter 2016, let's prepare our minds for action. These scriptures we just read urge us to do something positive with our minds that God has given to us. Therefore, in view of such scriptures, I would like to propose that we intentionally find sources of food for our minds that are true, honorable, right, and pure. Let us intentionally fix our thoughts on the possibilities and values of God. Just like you may intentionally embark on getting your body healthy by going to the gym, let's do the same with our minds. For example, you can adopt a Bible reading plan. That's a good thing to do. Be intentional about it. In fact, in your newsletter, you've got February's Bible reading plan there, that soap Bible reading plan. There's many others. You can listen to good music. Listen to good music. Hang out with positive people. Come on, choose your friends wisely, everybody. Hang out with positive people. Read good, wholesome books. Here's a good one, and you've done it today, and I congratulate everybody because it takes a bit of effort, but come to church. Go to life group. And here's just a bit of self-promotion. Listen to Pastor David's sermons. Amen. Hey, there's lots of good sermons you can listen to. Really, there is. And there's many sources of good food for the brain. You've just got to be intentional and even strategic about feeding your mind with good mind food. This is really serious stuff, actually. Even learning a musical instrument. I'm just learning the piano at the moment. Not very good at it, but I'm still learning. But even learning a musical instrument and doing things that are clean but fun are great alternatives to overindulging with the news on TV or hanging out with miserable people, you know. Such mind food will transform your life, and you'll think the thoughts of God, and you'll be thinking your way to victory in Jesus' name. So pay attention to what you're feeding into your brain and give your brain time to digest the new diet that you're going to feed it. It takes a little time to detox all the years of stinking thinking that you've been into. Give your brain a break to stick with your diet. And when you feed your mind a good, wholesome diet, then you will reap the rewards. Let me tell you what the rewards are. Let's go really quickly. One of those rewards will be wisdom in your decision making. And that is a huge reward. We all need wisdom to succeed and get through life. Amen? My heart breaks regularly, and actually I get really frustrated when people come to see me. I chat with precious people, good people, and they're struggling with issues. And often the issues they're dealing with could have been avoided if they'd used some wisdom. But they had no wisdom to use because they've been feeding their mind with a diet of brain rubbish. See, Proverbs 13 verse 16 says, "Wise people think before they act, fools don't." When you feed your mind with a good, wholesome diet, then you will reap wisdom. You will be able to discern what you need to do because your mind is filled with the good, the powerful, and the positive word of God. How many decisions will you have to make in 2016? You need wisdom. The second reward is this. When you feed your mind a good, wholesome diet, then you will reap the reward of peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." It's about the mind. It's about the mind. To have a mind filled with peace is a mighty gift from God. Thirdly, when you feed your mind a good, wholesome diet, then you will reap the reward of change and godliness to become more like God. Acts 10 verse 28 says that Peter told them, "You know, it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or clean." He had a change because there is a renew in his mind. When you're feeding your mind with the good, the powerful, and the positive, then God gives you a better and wholesome way of thinking about other people. He changes you. You get revelation and your attitudes change. Man, there's so many good reasons to renew your mind. Finally, when you feed your mind a good, wholesome diet, then you will reap the reward of understanding Scripture and revelation. God will give you revelation. Luke 24 verse 45 says, "And he, Jesus, opened their minds to understand the Scriptures." God can only open your mind to Scripture and revelation when you're feeding your mind with Scripture. Amen? Feeding your mind a good diet of brain food, a diet of the good, the powerful, and positive Word of God. So I conclude, what are you thinking? Really? What are you thinking? Because your thinking really does matter. Is your thought life holding you back, or is it propelling you forward? What have you been feeding your mind with? The good news is that it's never too late to start renewing your mind. It's never too late to pay attention to your thought life. It can begin today. In fact, it's beginning right now. Amen. So in 2016, let's keep our bodies healthy best we can, whatever our age is, with healthy eating and some exercise. However, more importantly, let's especially strive after a healthy thought life in Jesus' name. And if you will do that, then you will reap the rewards. People of faith engage the brain as well as the heart. What are you thinking?